Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison today from 4 to 6 for our NFL pregame show. They'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. Live here in Miami, Chase McCabe, Big Joe Dubin with you on this Monday. We're at the Lowe's Hotel in Coral Gables, Titans, Dolphins later on tonight, Monday Night Football. To help us preview that a little bit more, we say hello to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, who joins us every Monday at 9:30. Brett, good morning. How are you?
Good. I know the Lowe's here in Nashville in West End is a pretty nice hotel, so I know you guys are doing pretty good down there in South Beach. So.
Oh, it's very nice. We've enjoyed our time here so far. So what's kind of the biggest difference when you go through your routine? It everything is pushed back because you're playing on a Monday night as opposed to a Sunday afternoon. So for you as a player, what does that do to kind of shake up your routine?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different, obviously, playing Monday night, just the night games in general, especially when you have, you know, majority of your games are at noon, right? That's a totally different schedule than, you know, playing at 8:15 at night. So, you know, you're prepped for the week. You get a little extra day to prepare mentally this late in the season. You're probably not doing much physically extra, but there's a lot of mental prep, get some extra meetings. You know, and really the hard part is now that they're in Miami, there's probably a chance they're probably not going to come home till 2:33 in the morning. And so then it turns around and now you have a short week the following week against the Texans, which for me, Monday night was fun. It was nice to get the extra day, right? But, you know, the turnaround after that is pretty tough.
Would you rather, you know, as a player, would you rather come back right after the game or come back Tuesday morning? What would be preferable to you?
I mean, I think just getting home after the game, it's easier. It might not be the most convenient thing to do, but I know, I think it was 2021, or I'm trying to remember what year it was, but when we played out on Sunday Night Football against the Rams and won, we stayed out there. We stayed in LA that night, and then we left early, I think 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, or Monday morning, and it felt weird. It felt different. I think you're just so used to coming home after games right away. That even though sometimes, you know, that Sunday night game, the Thursday night game, Monday night game, when you're playing those night games, especially when it's a road game, you know, that's just a part of playing. You get home late and turn around and you start your prep for the next week.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. And Brett, tell us what like play football on Monday night. I mean, we all grow up, we all watch Monday Night Football, but to actually be a part of it, I'm sure you took a moment to kind of look around the first time you played on Monday Night Football to do it, but what's that experience like?
Yeah, my first NFL game ever when I was in Denver was at Oakland. The baseball field was still down. And that was my first game ever as an NFL player was Monday Night Football in Oakland. And that was quite the experience to start off like that. And I remember it just being, it was very overwhelming. Just the crowd and just the bus ride in to the stadium and, you know, playing on a baseball field and, you know, your first game ever, right? And so that was pretty crazy. But as time went on, you know, it's once a game starts, even if it's AFC Championship game or, you know, your first game of the season or you might have a Monday night game halfway through the year, once you start the game and you get into the flow, like you kind of forget that it is Monday Night Football. You're just playing football. And so once – you know, once you get going, the lead up to it is fun because, you know, Miami, there's probably gonna be some people down there on the sidelines and depending where you play, the celebrities that are there. But once you get going, it's just, you're just playing football and it's pretty cool to be able to play in front of the whole country.
You know, one of the most iconic things in Super Bowl and football was when Joe Montana was playing the Super Bowl, was going to beat the Bengals. And before they started that long drive, he said, "Look, everybody, there's John Candy on the sidelines." And it's like one of the biggest drives ever. Anything like that ever happened to you? You look over and say, like, look, there's so-and-so standing over there, some big, massive star.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year in Philly, before the NFC Championship game, Joel Embiid and Kevin Hart were on the sidelines together, and that is quite the combination of seven-foot, ginormous Joel Embiid and then Kevin Hart, who's probably 5'5", 5'6", just hanging out together. And it was It was pretty comical, but I'm always fascinated and interested to see, like, to be able to see Joel Embiid up in person, like how big he is and how tall he is, and to think about how his agility and how he's able to move on the court is it's unbelievable. So that was pretty cool last year to see that.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. He's on the line with us, and you played with David Long Jr. You were teammates for a while. Now he's here in Miami. We were reading the paper this morning, and he, you know, had a little, as Joe holds it up on our video stream, you know, he's had some things to say about his former team that always seems to happen. But, you know, when you face guys that you played with like David, I mean, was the chirping there? Like, is the chirping a good thing? What do you expect out of that? And specifically David Long?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably going to come out tonight and play with a lot of passion, a lot of attitude. I mean, it happens all the time in the league. Guys are on teams and they go to other teams and they play each other. It's just a part of football. But, especially to be able to do it on Monday Night Football, kind of make a statement like, hey, why did you guys not re-sign me? Or why did you let me? Whatever the case might be with David. But, you know, I expect him to go out there and play fast, physical, probably all the Vrabel things. And, I think his goal is obviously to stop 22 and 32 and really make an influence on the game.
What is kind of the mindset of this football team right now? I mean, you went through some times where things weren't very good. And, you know, that's before Mike Mularkey came in here. They've seen a lot of success under Mike Vrabel this year. Got a rookie quarterback, got injuries, last in the division right now. So how do you kind of keep the attitude of the football team where it needs to be and have guys playing, you know, as best they can to try and see this thing through? Because as you know, anything can happen in the NFL. Just because the Dolphins are where they're at doesn't mean the Titans couldn't come in here tonight and get a win.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games, you know, it kind of has that feeling of, I remember playing the Texans, and I think Blaine Gabbert was the starting quarterback, and I think Tyson Breo was the left tackle, maybe. It was a pretty pieced together offensive line, and, you know, Deshaun came in. We weren't supposed to win. There was no chance, and I remember KB having to fake punt to Dean Cruikshank, and, you know, really, is there a way of finding plays here or there, you know, obviously with Aukerman being let go, does Tom Quinn come in and make a statement with a fake punt if that opportunity comes? How are you going to, you know, influence the game, right, to try to get a turning point or something in the game to help influence it in a way that, you know, Miami, you have to keep them on their toes, right? And so, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, like, you know, Vrabel's just, hey, look, we got – you know, five games left, like you're playing for your job, right? I mean, we're playing for our job, but we're playing for a job. Like we might not be able to be, you know, get in the division or we maybe not make the playoffs, but really at the end of the day, you're playing for an opportunity to wear a jersey. And whether that be a tryout for, you know, to be on the team next year, or if it's a contract year and you think you might not be back, you're still putting film in front of all other 31 teams and being evaluated. You're constantly being evaluated of your performance. And so that was, for me, when we weren't very good back in the Wizen Hunt days and all that fun, I just wanted to be a consistent player, like put out a consistent product. So that way you had to keep me on this team, right? And even though things weren't going well, offense wasn't playing well, defense, whatever, I still wanted to try to be a bright spot. You know, and I was motivated. I mean, I have a family at home and I love it here in Nashville. There's a lot of things that motivated me to play well, even though our record didn't indicate that. So I think it's a pretty simple message. You kind of come in as an underdog big time. What is it, 13.5, I think. And you go out there, play football, see what happens.
Well said. We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. Brett, I know you guys didn't play together, but you shared a common bond of playing many years for the franchise. But your thoughts on the passing of the great Frank Wycheck?
Yeah, Frank, I mean, I just man, thoughts and prayers out to his family. I'm sure that's not easy. You know, especially at the age he was at, probably felt like he had a lot more left. And you know, just sad day. And you know, Frank was, anytime he came around the facility, you know, always had a smile on his face. He's always joking with somebody, you know, digging at somebody, and, you know, would give him a hug afterwards. And obviously there's plenty of football plays that, you know, you remember him by throughout the years, and the impact that he had, especially as a tight end. I mean, that's just, you know, to lead your team in receiving as a tight end is, you know, kind of like Delaney Walker type style, and how hard that is to do, and the respect that you have for him. Cause he played, obviously, when you were, he was a catching tight end and is a blocking tight end. There's not many of those guys left anymore. And so, just a heck of a player, but he was even a better guy to come around the locker room, see him in the lunchroom sometimes, and just crack a joke and hang out with. So he'll be missed.
Yeah, I know it's you guys, did you ever meet up on the golf course? He loved playing golf and you love playing golf.
Yeah, I mean, we never did. When he was able to play, obviously I was, you know, busy at work and whatnot, but I think we were in a couple tournaments together. We just never got on the same team. But I wish we could have played together. But, you know, I heard for a big guy, you know, he had a pretty good swing, so.
Brett, before I let you go, you know, you mentioned Craig Aukerman earlier as they moved on from him. What do you think led to that ultimately? Because I know you worked with him for a long time there with the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where the decision came from, up top or kind of in the middle, or, you know, with Rabel. I don't know that. And I don't know if we'll ever know that for sure. But, you know, I think it's just – anytime you give up, you know, two back-to-back block punts, it really changed the outcome of the game. You can kind of go back to the Saints game, you know, when Stoney had that punt tipped, and it went over the line of scrimmage, but it was only a 2-3 yard punt, and, you know, they're pretty much almost in the red zone off the bat, and that, you know, probably didn't help the cause out for that game either. You know, and I think over the years, because there's some of the years that I was with Auk, I mean, we were, you know, tops in the league in net punting. We had, I think we broke a record in kickoff return yard average. Like, there were some things that were extremely positive, but unfortunately, especially in our culture, in our day, the negatives seem to always outweigh the positives, and people focus on the negative a lot more than they do on the positive. And so I think the negative plays just kind of built up. And I think it got to a point when, you know, one of your franchise players is out for the year, and it just wasn't a good situation. So, you know, it is what it is. He stayed here for, you know, a lot longer than the average special teams coach stays in the city. So I commend that to him, because I thought he did a, you know, a good job with really, you know, you're making lemonade with lemons. You got a lot of guys that are coming together, and how can I make this the best I can make it on this roster? So, you know, I thought he did a good job, and I know he'll land on his feet somewhere else here pretty soon.
Let me ask you this, Brett, because when John Harbaugh got signed by the Ravens in 2008, I think it was, he was a special teams coach for the Eagles, and somebody said, why would you hire a special teams coach? And somebody came back and said, he's the only coach, the one coach, only coach that hits every part of the team. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. He knows, as a special teams coach, you know every single person on that team. Because really, you're meshing together on kickoff. You have your wide receivers, your linebackers, your tight ends, your DBs. It's a mesh, right? Same thing with kickoff return. You got the same type of players at a fullback. You know, you get a running back there for a returner, wide receiver, punt team. Same thing. Linebackers, tight ends. You know, safety Kevin Byers, a PP for a couple years. You know, and then you go to field goal block. You get your defensive lineman in there. Some linebackers, obviously you got offense tight ends, offensive line tight ends. So really, when you're conducting meetings, you have every single position group that you're meeting with. And so you get to know all the guys and how they mesh, how they work well together. And so, you know, I think for a special teams coordinator to become a head coach, I mean, you know everybody. You know everybody's personalities. You know, I know Dave Tobe, who's in Kansas City, has been mentioned a lot, you know, under Andy Reid. Though I know he gets taken of, he gets compensated very well in Kansas City to be the special teams coach there. But those are the kind of guys, Rich Bisacci, you know, when he took over in Oakland, right? Oakland resurged, made the playoffs. Well, he knows everybody. And so guys respond to that. because they're used to him. So, yeah, I mean, special teams coordinators, they probably make good candidates for head coaches.
Well, Brett, appreciate the time as always. Hope that you and the family are all good after Saturday night. Obviously, we're here in Miami, but thinking a lot about people in Nashville and Clarksville after the tornadoes came through. So, yep. Hope everything's good with you guys.
All good, and just praying for the people up in Clarksville, loss of life, and people locally, Hendersonville, Gallatin, all that. You know, just doesn't seem like that long ago that you know, we had the tornadoes in March back in 2020. But you know, Nashville strong, community strong, and we'll go help them out.
No doubt, Brett. Thanks for joining us as always.
Yep. Take care.
That is Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us every Monday at 9:30. And again, in an effort to aid those affected by the tornadoes from this past weekend, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee and the United Way of Greater Nashville have activated emergency relief funds. For more information on how you can donate, just visit cfmt.org. We'll continue to talk about the Titans and their matchup tonight against the Dolphins and take your thoughts as well. 615-7.
Yes!
No way.
Got a 6, special guest down here at the Lowe's Coral Gables 1, Hotel.
5. How? What a small world.
Yeah.
Alex Scopel joined, just walked in from the sounds. That's awesome. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, 1025-1063 the game.